Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Here's a guy that Robert Kraft said last year that he had planned for 5 years while you were in place, that this was the guy.
You know, that's his choice. People that own the team have the choice to do whatever they want to do. You know, the other people that were in place, that I think Bill made a good point. It's also the rest of the organization. It's not just the head coach. So, you know, Robin Glazier, Jonathan Kraft, whoever the other people are, they're involved in those decisions and the structure of the organization. But you need that shared vision between ownership and the coaching and scouting. And that's when you can be successful. And I know, you know, Bill, you had that at Pittsburgh, and I had that up until about the last 4 years in New England. And when you have that shared vision and, you know, everybody kind of pulling in the same direction, you know, you have a chance and you can get a lot done. And even if you don't win at all, you're still really competitive. And we've both been in that situation. But when you're going in different directions, then that makes it really hard to, you know, to keep up with everybody else. So I think you look at the organizations and you can kind of see the ones that are and the ones that aren't.
Bill Belichick on the Let's Go podcast the other day. Pretty good. Jim Gray peppering him with questions. Yeah, I had control up until about the last 4 years, I'd say.
The Alien Wolf showed up. Here comes the Wolf Pack, about to make some moves.
Oh, so you think
that's kind of the line. That's one of the lines.
Yeah, I think it's more of a shot at Robert. And, well,
Robert Jonathan and Robin Glazier, who he calls out.
Oh, he called out again in that interview. I forget if it was in that exact clip or not. He had done that with McAfee as well. Robin Glazier, he brings her up at every single
most
chance.
Most NFL fans are like, who is he talking about?
Robert, yeah. I think most NFL fans probably aren't even like super aware of how involved Jonathan is.
No, maybe not.
You know, like, I don't know all the kids with the other organizations.
Most 90% of the time they show Robert, you at least see Jonathan.
That's
so
fair.
Maybe NFL fans at this point, because they've been in the spotlight for so long, might know him. But you're right, I wouldn't say everybody does.
Robin Glazier, no one has any clue outside of New England. Half the Patriots fans might not even know him. And Bill brings her up at every single turn.
What year did Elliot Wolf show up? Oh, that's 4 years ago.
Well, he said his final 4 years in New England. I was going to say, what happened those final 4 years in New England?
You were missing a certain quarterback.
I would think it probably had more to do with that than your control.
Yeah.
And what, are you implying that you would have kept Brady? Is that what you're implying?
I know.
Like, oh, yeah, Bill, you totally would have kept Brady. You would have.
But then this also gets into that weird area where, you know, when Bill Parcells had that great line about, you know, you got to let me buy the groceries. Mm-hmm. So it's like, all right, so you didn't draft Terry Glenn, but like, do we give you credit for Teddy Bruschi? Like, do you get that one?
Well,
or like for Bill, so like,
and you didn't want Terry Glenn helped you get to a Super Bowl, and you brag about going to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, Glenn was awesome that year.
So like, you didn't get you were forced to pick Mac Jones. Did you pick Christian Gonzalez?
Right.
Did we give you that? Or like, did you get overstepped
but
there?
I don't know. Is the implication that you wanted Brady and you lost control and Kraft took control and you wanted Brady? Or is the implication that was the line in the sand, you lost it, and that's why you went 7-9, 10-7, good year, 8-9, 4-13?
Yeah.
I would say that probably had to do more with you shoving Brady out the door, which Kraft is not blameless on.
No.
Kraft deserves a good chunk of the blame and certainly more than I think he largely gets.
Yeah.
You know, he did not have to say, Tom, we're not going to franchise you.
Yeah, that's a Kraft thing, not a Bill thing.
He
for
could
sure.
have paid Robert Tom Brady.
Right.
And Kraft also could have said, because he's bragged about working out the deal in the past, he could also said, Bill, tough, we're keeping him. So but, Kraft deserves blame, but Bill was the one shoving him out the door.
Oh, yeah. But now, Bill could coach for Tom Brady.
Well, apparently he's
in a bizarre twist.
He's groveling to do it.
Yeah.
Apparently.
He might.
That's my read on it. But Tom Pelissero said, yeah, Brady reached out and asked him about. He's one of multiple teams, by the way, that reached out and asked Bill about coaching in the league. Why is Pelissero so quick to mention Brady and not the second team? Who's the mystery team, do you think?
Raiders and other teams. I don't think there are any other teams. Maybe the Cowboys. I'd leave out the Cowboys. They're in a weird spot right now where.
Who else owes Bill one?
Most of the league doesn't like Bill, hence why he's not in the league.
Yeah, who owes
Bill? So who owes him a favor? I don't know.
Who else would it be? I mean, Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones, they're friendly.
Maybe. Jerry Jones might keep Mike McCarthy over him, for God's sakes. So, yeah.
But I don't think multiple teams are reaching out to Bill today when he's been available all season.
I don't. Me neither. In other words, maybe Brady did reach out to Bill.
I believe. Sure.
Me too. But I don't think Bill's coming back to the NFL.
I wonder what
I think Bill wants back in the NFL, and that's probably where this story came from. But I don't think he's going to be coaching in the NFL this year or ever again.
I wonder who Tom Brady's top three candidates are. Like, if it's just up to Brady, all the money's the same, all the guys would take the job, everything.
Vrabel.
You think Vrabel would be over Bill or Bill over Vrabel?
Oh, Vrabel over Bill.
Yeah, probably.
I think so.
It kind of should be. I mean, if you're hoping to have a guy for a long time and, like, really turn the franchise around and be there for a while, it would be Vrabel. But I wonder, because Tom has seen the league all year, right? More so than maybe other guys that retire for a couple of years. He's doing all these games. He actually did mainly only Cowboy games, but he did other games. They always played somebody.
Yep.
And so I wonder if he has a strong opinion. We had a texter earlier saying how during the last Lions game that he did, he was going on and on and on about Ben Johnson.
Interesting.
So, like, would he be interested in him?
Well, that's a whole weird thing with Brady as well.
It
like
is.
Brady is part of the hiring process in Vegas, and now he's getting ready to do Lions games.
Yeah, he's going to do the Super Bowl. There's probably going to be some good candidates on the sidelines
right,
in that game.
But I guess my point is, well, and there will be good candidates, but you know Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn are candidates for a lot of these jobs.
Yeah.
In fact, have the Raiders lined up interviews with both of them? They may have.
I haven't seen anything on the Raiders.
And you know he's doing at least a Lions game, I would imagine. He's doing at least a Lions game. 617-779-7937. Let's go to our buddy JP in North...
Son of a biscuit, JP.
Let's go to Paul up in New Hampshire. Right. Hello, Paul.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Good. Love the show. Rich, I live in Goffstown. Isn't that where you're from?
Hell yeah. Oh. Yeah, from town over, but yeah, went to middle school in Goffstown. Very nice.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. Hey, though, so listen, I was just listening to that little snippet you had from Belichick. I think Brady left because of Jonathan. I think Bill left because of Jonathan. I think Robert was trickling power down to Jonathan, and he wanted to make the new team in his own image. And I think everybody else said, hey, we've been at least very competitive for 20 years. Why would we want to listen to your, you know, what the hell does he know about
running
a football organization?
I don't think he's out because of Jonathan per se, but did Jonathan's influence or sway grow? And
that's definitely more than likely.
That's part of what bothered Bill and why Bill takes a shot at him and Robin Glazer at every turn. Probably, yeah.
Yeah, Bill definitely mentions his name a few times.
Yeah,
right?
Now,
like, he doesn't just leave it all on the feet of
Robert.
But
look, I'll take shots at Jonathan Kraft all day long and the way they're operating, and we have. But I'm going to blame Robert more than Jonathan for shivving. Who was on the Apple documentary?
Jonathan was.
Well, Jonathan could have saved multiple lives. Well, that's true. I guess Jonathan wasn't not on there.
No.
Who did the bulk of ripping Bill, though?
Yeah, Robert did.
So, like, I'm not going to let Robert off the hook for that.
But then again, like, who do you think's in Robert's ear more than anybody else?
Definitely Jonathan.
And so you might get some of those and be like, oh, yeah, that is a good point. And then it becomes your point, but where did it start from?
Yeah, you know? True. Our buddy JP is in North Providence back, I think. Hello, JP?
Sorry, gentlemen. That was bizarre. I've been on hold for 36 minutes, and it spliced me into a Lou Maloney outtake dropping F-bombs for the ad he was doing for Ortho Care.
Oh.
That's the first in all. It was bizarre.
Could be HD,
too. So talk about a Belichick-Keefe-spiracy. Keefe, the ultimate Keefe-spiracy. Just go with me for a second. Could you picture, there's Bill and Jordan. They're on XS or I don't know, Live Nightclub, doing shots at a champagne table in Vegas. Okay. Next year, he comes in, everybody's wearing hoodies, dressed like the youth, you know, when they were going for the national championship. It would be better than when Ray Bourque went to Colorado. I would follow that more than the Patriots. Please make it happen, Tom. The ultimate payback would be him coming in and doing that to Kraft.
Oh, okay.
And there might be some credibility to it. I'd love to see it.
Okay, well, JP, the credibility is where I'm skeptical, but that'd be awesome.
So we talked about this, like, when Brady was on the Bucs, there was a lot of Bucs fans that year.
Yeah.
If Belichick and Brady are with the Raiders playing against the Patriots, do you think there'll be people rooting for the Raiders?
Oh, some.
Yeah,
sure.
Some.
Yeah. There's a ton of pro-Bill, anti-Kraft people right
However,
now.
If Vrabel's the head coach, I think that kind of knocks some of it down because that is the people's choice.
So rooting against, more people were going to root for Brady And I don't even, what percentage of the fan base do you think that was?
Rooting
for Brady and against the Patriots in that game.
So I was at that game, and I feel like he got a big ovation when he came out, but then people wanted the pass to win.
So I think largely, yes. I think by the time the Patriots weren't going anywhere and Brady was in the playoffs, then you shifted and you go, oh, yeah, well, I'm going to root for Brady. I think that's what happened over the course of that year.
But also, the Bucs are so much more harmless than the Raiders.
Also true.
You don't want the Raiders to do well.
There's a long track record. It's the same conference. All that's true. I think a similar thing could happen with Belichick if the Patriots aren't good, and by December and January, all of a sudden the Raiders are in a playoff push in theory. Yeah, I think people would start rooting for that to stick it to the Crafts, and it'd be a very interesting story, and I would root for it.
Yeah.
But do I think it's likely? No, I don't think it's – I think it's beyond remote.
You think he coaches at North Carolina this year?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
I think he's – I think that's the last place he coaches.
Yeah, two, 3 years.
Not to be morbid.
No, sicko. You live forever.
I think it's the last place he coaches. I don't think he's coaching anywhere else in college. I don't think he's ever coaching in the NFL again.
Might get in the Alamo Bowl or something like Dion last year. It'd be pretty good.
It is pretty good. I don't think Vrabel's going to the Raiders. Who is?
So Vrabel, I do think, is coming here.
Me too.
And maybe even on our show Friday, we get the announcement.
Yeah. I mean,
where's
the Giardi tweet? Let me pull up Giardi. Keep going.
Not to dwell on the Rooney rule. We discussed it a bit yesterday. But like when you hear some of these like national reporters talking about like the whole process or whatever, they skip past what it is. Like, did you hear earlier, like Ian Rapoport was like, the Patriots can hire anybody they want now. Like, they're good to go now.
No, they
are. You're like, ugh.
Well,
no, but that's why. So they do the two sham interviews yesterday. They tweeted out on the same graphic of Byron Leftwich and Pep Hamilton. They're like, we got that out of the way. Now in come the real candidates. You're like, ugh, it's just so gross the way it's done. But that's what I think going to happen. Mike Vrabel's going to interview tomorrow. I still don't know when the timing of this Ben Johnson Zoom is going to be. It has to be... Nick, what did you say, tomorrow, Friday, or Saturday before?
I think it starts tomorrow afternoon, and then it has to be done by Saturday.
Yeah, it's a small win. It has to be done this week. It has to be virtual.
They can start interviewing in person.
So Detroit has the bye, so they have this little window where they can talk to him. But would you be shocked if Friday Mike Vrabel's head coach?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
Here's what Giardi said. It echoes the clip from Rap Sheet we played earlier this hour. Giardi said yesterday, as I tweeted, a little back patting, but good. He was in front of this. Six league executives all said Vrabel when I asked what they thought the Patriots process was going to be. Having already fulfilled the Rooney rule, that's what you were just talking about, Keith, Vrabel, who will interview Thursday, tomorrow, could be the new head coach before the weekend. So
before
the weekend means Friday.
I think Friday. I think Thursday we'll get a little graphic that'll say we completed our interview with Mike Vrabel. There'll be a little photo. There'll be a lot of people commenting on it. And then Friday they'll announce it. That's my prediction here today.
Do you think we get like
this press conference on Monday?
No. Well, maybe. This might sound stupid. Do we get like any Vrabel coverage? Like, no one knew Leftwich and Pep Hamilton were interviewing until they interviewed. Like, are we going to get like Channel 5 or whatever at Foxborough? Vrabel's walking in for his interview. Are we going to get any of that coverage?
Like a Skycam of Mike Vrabel?
I mean, not about Skycam, but are we going to get like any footage of like Vrabel en route, leaving, anything like that?
I think it just takes one investigative reporter to get down there and just kind of wait. Where do they do the interview? I guess you don't really know 100% where they do the interview.
Can I get Freeze Pops on that?
Freeze Pops. If anybody's going to do it, it's Freeze Pops.
Let's get him at like a Dunks down there or something like that.
Just hanging out with your iPhone.
Posted for the Vrabel interview.
Just waiting for somebody to...
Like, can we get Freeze Pops on that?
I think I saw him at Logan Airport. I think he was getting a Hertz rental car.
He's here already.
Is that Vrabel?
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Nice. I do think, and you know, Chad Graff had a tweet yesterday before this story came out with a window into ownership's mindset, right? And he said, let me get the exact tweet. Chad Graff at The Athletic, big expose today on Gerard Mayo. He said, one note on the Patriots coaching search. Robert Kraft tends to be intentional with these kinds of decisions. He's not going to sit back and take lots of time. Wouldn't surprise me if the Patriots are the first team to fill their head coaching vacancy, potentially within a week. What are you giggling at?
Turp put up the image of Mike Vrabel at Logan.
There's Vrabel.
There he is.
Wow, somebody seek that out. Nice work. You can see it on twitch.tv.
He's got his luggage. He's just trying to get his car.
/BossandWEEI.
Somebody should pick him up.
No one's bothering him. That's nice.
Why is he renting a car?
Leaving him be as he's renting a car. That's good.
That is good.
Well, it's a long drive out to Foxborough, Keith.
Everything is.
That's
true.
That is
Foxborough anywhere.
Yeah, forget traffic. Heaven forbid.
But the idea of them moving quickly.
Well, no, just Graff having a mindset. Or a window into ownership's mindset, and then he comes out today with a story on how much of a screw-up Mayo was last year.
Yeah, I think they're just so desperately looking for, like, a PR win that they might just settle for a guy that in the immediate hiring is going to be a PR win.
I think they're leaning in on, we're going to have a veteran. We're not going to have a guy who
they're going to celebrate that.
We're going to...
No rookie head coach mistakes, which is unfortunate because you might find, like, the next great head coach that sort of like hits the ground running and is the best thing for Drake May. I'm not convinced that Mike Vrabel is the best thing for Drake May.
Me either. And especially
if he brings in Tommy freaking Reese.
You. That's what I was going to say.
Out of here.
Tommy Reese from the Browns, who has Alabama connections and everything else, but like that's your OC and your personnel guy is Ryan Cowden or Coden, whatever the hell his
name
is.
You just had a Browns offensive coordinator and you're probably going to fire him in a year.
So you're bringing in a guy from the Browns to coach your quarterback. They've done real well with that.
No, they had the worst offense in football.
Meaning
last
this past year. They actually had a good year the year prior when Van Pelt was there.
That's right.
Hmm. Interesting connection. But, okay, you're going to bring him in as your OC, and you're going to bring in a personnel guy from the Titans? Their personnel blows.
I don't like that.
So I don't like that either, but I think the one thing we can all agree on, that Vrabel has a leg up. He had a decent run in Tennessee. I don't want to overstate what he did. One AFC championship game, 3 playoff appearances in 6 years. His last 2 years were really bad, where he feuded with personnel and ultimately lost his job. He was out of football as a head coach last year. He was an offensive analyst or an analyst for the Browns, who sucked. So,
yeah, what did he analyze?
I don't think any of it's that great, to be honest, but he's done it before. He had a good, not great run in Tennessee. He is highly thought of.
Mm-hmm.
The thing the Crafts are leaning in on, and I think that's where this Chad Graff story came from, they're leaning in on having a guy who's not going to be surprised when it's like, oh, wait, I'm not supposed to play cards with the players? I'm not supposed to do that?
No.
Wait, I can't come out and say Ramondre Stevenson's benched and then turn around and start Ramondre Stevenson? I can't do that? You're not going to get any of that with Vrabel.
Well, it's also, you can't control what every single player says, but we saw Bill do a pretty good job for 20 years, so I don't think you're going to have a lot of times where players are telling fans to know their place or guys that aren't doing anything popping off about their roles and things like that. They might do it, but then I have a feeling that that guy's either off the team or his playing time's gone or whatever, and I think Vrabel's going to run more of a tight ship in that regard, which is good. Like, that's a great place to start. That doesn't mean you win 9-10 games and go to the playoffs. It just means, like, all right, you're cleaning that part up, and then hopefully you can just focus on the actual games.
And that, well, there is danger, too. And maybe you'd have higher expectations next year no matter what. A lot of cap space, growth from Drake May. You know, you look at this team and you have a high draft pick and more to add. Maybe there's high expectations regardless. Aren't they higher with Vrabel? Like, if Vrabel's here, aren't you expecting an extra win or two than Ben Johnson in his first year? Or is it the same?
No, I mean, maybe it's the same, but I would expect, I would have such high hopes for the offense. Like, I wouldn't let Ben Johnson be like, oh, you're going to have like a slight step forward. Maybe, I would think the offense would be insane.
Maybe
that's too much.
Maybe I'm cutting a guy like Ben Johnson too much slack on that. Yeah. Maybe you got to win 8, 9, 10 games, be competitive no matter what next year, else it's a failure. But I like to think that Vrabel's a guy who's been there, done it. You got to hit the ground running faster, especially early. I think that expectation is slightly higher with him. So
maybe
if they don't hit that, it's even more disappointing.
And not to do schedule talk on January 8th, but they have, not only is it a last place schedule, but it's amazing, the teams that they play.
Yeah.
Like, even if they slightly add, and not even the big offseason that we're all hoping for, they could win 9 games. They play all the trash teams next year.
It's true.
Like, this year, they didn't really play all the bad ones.
They play most of them here, including Belichick and the Raiders
next
year.
Like, Raiders, Giants, Cleveland, Carolina, New Orleans, Jets. Like, they play all these garbage teams.
It's true.
I mean, they're also a garbage team, so that's what those teams are saying about the Pats right now. But, you improve the head coach, you get a couple of good players. Like, I don't know, you could turn around quick.
Outside of the division, you get the Falcons, losing record here.
Yep, suck.
You get the Carolina Panthers.
Terrible.
Well,
terrible.
I kind of like what they were
frisky for a week, and they were on frisky.
You get them here, losing record, 5-win team. Cleveland Browns, worse than you.
Horrible.
They're here. Giants, worse than you.
Horrible.
Or at least drafting higher. You get, as we said, Bill Belichick and the Raiders next year.
That'd be amazing.
And Pittsburgh, who's a playoff team.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is the only non-division playoff team on this. Actually, the other way to put it, the only other home team.
Steelers and Bills.
It's Steelers and Bills. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. So your road games are a little tougher. Baltimore, Cincinnati, you know, you have to go to Buffalo, obviously, even Tampa. Your road games are a little tougher, but that is an easy schedule.
I don't know, but like, I think it's a good
landing
spot for the new
guy. Regardless of Vrabel, Ben Johnson, Liam Cohen, call up Kevin O'Connell if you want. Regardless, they got to win a bunch of games next year. That's fair. 617-779-7937. You could jump in here. We got WEEI Afternoons coming up with Andy Hart and Christian Arcan. They have Adam Schefter at 3:45.
You never know what he's going to come up with.
What's he hearing on Vrabel? What's he hearing on Bill? They're going to talk to Scal as well at 4 o'clock about the big Celtics win. Successful road trip last night, so stay tuned for all of that. Plus, we have our clip du jour, Billy Lanny, with all the latest and trending. And when we come back, it's time for Grab Bag.
Oh, my God. Becky, look at her
grab bag.
It is so big.
It's time for Grab Bag. It's time.
It's time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Stuff we couldn't get to in the first 3.5 hours of the program, which was dominated first by some of the smear campaign against Jerod Mayo, sort of the unnecessary smear campaign against Jerod Mayo, followed up by Raiders interested in Bill Belichick, potentially, to be their head coach. But some of the other items include, no surprise here, Jones, Boise State running back Ashton Jeanty, the runner-up in the Heisman, is going pro. I ask you, will he be a top 16 pick in the draft?
I'm saying yes.
Yeah.
I would look at, and I don't know, I'd have to look more at teams and their needs, but wouldn't you look at a team like the Detroit Lions? I know running backs can be overvalued, but people scoffed at that pick.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, why would you take Jahmyr Gibbs at 12? That's a crazy pick. And you look at a team like the Lions and you go, well, okay, that's one of the better run organizations in football, and they value it. Now, look, all first round picks at running back don't work out. I also don't think he's your typical run-of-the-mill guy. Bijan Robinson was in that same draft as Jahmyr Gibbs. Maybe the Falcons reached a little too much and Gibbs is the better value.
He's pretty good, though.
He is good. I agree.
He's good, yeah.
So I would take Ashton Jeanty in the first half of the first round. Yeah. I bet he does go there, and I'd be happy to take him. I would not take him if I were at 4.
No.
And the New England Patriots.
But seems a bit too high.
If they move down, depending on how far they move down.
That's what I'm wondering. It's not what you would call a team need, and it does seem like it's more easy to find.
I kind of think it is a team need. I'm done with Stevenson.
Okay.
And Gibson's nice enough.
If you were going to power rank the team needs, it's not the biggest team need.
No, I would agree with
that.
It's
like wide receivers, offensive line, pass rush, maybe another corner. Then maybe running back.
Yep.
Yeah, Ramondre does have an issue holding on to the football, which is huge. Yeah. That's a big part of the game of running backs.
I even talked to, I think you were on the day that Ramondre Stevenson signed, or shortly thereafter during the Celtics parade, we talked about that to a degree.
Yeah, we were like,
and,
all right.
Well, I think I liked it more than most people at the time. I'm like, good, pay a running back. I like Ramondre Stevenson. I think I'm done with him. So it's a need, but it's not the biggest need.
If that's your first pick, I think people are going to be mad.
Rest in grab bag.
Let me tell you.
They dug him up, by the way, for the first Raw on Netflix.
Yeah, you told me they brought a lot of people back. I've come to appreciate the tale of audio on Grab Bag clips.
Some of them are good. And you don't know. One-to-one, they're all a little bit different.
That's
how
true.
People choose to edit them. Again, if you want to send those in, and people have, it's did you get the new ones, Nick? I think I sent you new ones. Keefe at WEEI.com.
It's more Forrest Gump.
We're kind of full there. We'd have the whole movie.
The whole movie has been done. No more Forrest Gump.
Please, no more of those. Let's call it on the Forrest Gumps. How about this? Taking a page out of the Jerod Mayo coaching playbook.
Oh?
UCLA basketball coach Mick Cronin.
Oh, I like him.
Called his team soft.
Oh, boy.
He says we're soft.
Oh, boy.
Now, maybe tomorrow he'll walk it back. We'll see. That would also be out of the Jerod Mayo handbook.
That's true. If you're following that handbook, that is the next step.
But it's a bold strategy, Cotton, and we'll see if it pays off for him. But, yeah, he's calling out his soft team, apparently.
Yeah, I'll highlight the difference. They're not – well, in the NIL era, maybe they are more professionals than I give it credit for. You know, they're even younger than professional athletes. That's but, right. Yeah, I would say that's not an ideal comment by any coach.
No, he should probably keep that one to himself, but we'll see how it goes.
Russians don't take a dump, son, without a
grab bag.
That's one of the new ones. I don't know if you like that or not. Cowboys have denied the Chicago Bears' request to interview Mike McCarthy.
Hmm.
So they haven't signed McCarthy to an extension.
Nope.
There's been no word of interviews that the Cowboys are doing. And yet the Bears were like, hey, we'll take a sniff there at McCarthy. And the Dallas Cowboys said no.
So
what do you make of that?
Well, I was just going to ask you, how do you read it? It's one of two ways. It's either Jerry Jones is like, no, he's our guy. We're going to negotiate with him while we still can. Or Jerry Jones is like, screw you. I'm making you wait, going behind my back, trying to line up interviews. I'm going to make you wait as long as I possibly can. I think, and I would not do this, I would not defend this, I think Mike McCarthy is going to be back as the Cowboys coach, which I think is insane. But
that is insane.
That's what I think.
Does he get excuses because of all the injuries and all the Dak Prescott injuries. But maybe, like, at some point, you got to be better than
They also played relatively well. I don't want to overstate how well. They also played relatively well for him down the stretch without Dak Prescott, as you said. Mm-hmm. Let me highlight this. Please. I was looking this up yesterday because I was thinking about this story.
All right.
Mike McCarthy in his career, 608 win percentage. That includes three straight winning seasons in Dallas, three straight 12-win seasons in Dallas before last year. He is a 500 coach in the postseason, 11-11. He does have a Super Bowl way back in 2010.
Hmm.
People are all horny for Mike Vrabel.
People like Vrabel.
He has, as a head coach, a 545 winning percentage.
Oh, he won a million games with the Packers.
Yeah, yeah. Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm saying people love Mike Vrabel. McCarthy has a higher winning percentage.
Mm.
Obviously, more playoff wins and the Super Bowl. Like, I don't know.
You want Mike McCarthy?
I don't. This is a way of underscoring Mike Vrabel, and I think people are overrating the vet. If you just need a veteran and a guy who's done it before, Mike McCarthy's been more successful than Vrabel. That's my point.
Well, Andy Hart had a good question yesterday or the day before. If Vrabel never played for the Patriots, would people want him around here?
Good question. Probably not.
Let's say he was the same player, just somewhere else. Now, it's hard to win three Super Bowls somewhere else, but let's just say he was a good player, all pro, whatever, and then was the Titans coach, the way he was the Titans coach, and then he's out of football for a year. There's no way in hell he'd be the top candidate.
No.
Because people wouldn't know the personality as much as we do here. Like, it's a tough question to ask because we saw him here for so long, and he was one of the few guys during that early 2000s era that did show personality.
Yeah.
Most guys got snuffed out. He was the one guy like, that guy's funny. Like, you could just already tell that he was, whether it was interviews and everything else. And then you viewed him differently when he was with the Titans because of who he was. So it's hard to get that part out of your mind. But my guess would be no way.
Yeah, I agree.
Because
we
look
at
any other coach that got fired after a couple of years missing the playoffs, nobody's like, that should be our guy. Interesting.
No, I hadn't thought about it that way. But yeah, I mean, again, if you just need a guy who's done it before, been there, done that, I mean, Mike McCarthy's more accomplished than Vrabel.
You can grab my back. Grab my back. My back. You can grab my back.
All right, do you look at this?
Why are you shaking your head at that?
No, that's a good one.
That's a great entry.
Do you look at this as bulletin board material?
Okay.
So Penn State, Notre Dame coming up. And they have the two head coaches on the dais.
Mm-hmm.
They're both they're next to each other.
Oh.
They got the image. They got the helmets.
Oh, it's like a USC weigh-in.
Yeah, nice. I love that with the helmets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they're talking. And James Franklin, the coach of Penn State, said, talking about the big game coming up, and he's like, we're here representing our schools and our conferences. And then he looked over at Marcus Freeman, and he said, or our conference, excuse me. And then later said that everybody should be in a conference.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I was like, the first thing is pretty innocuous.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that just sounds like he misspoke.
No.
If you double down on it later and you're like, everybody should be
so
in the conference.
So this is James Franklin. This is an outrageous thing. Notre Dame's been an independent for, what, 1,000 years?
Yeah.
And now he's, like, hung up about it. Like, it even matters. It didn't, like, knock you out of the playoff. How many Big Ten teams were in the playoff? I don't know why he's upset about this, but this is another quote.
Well, but hang on. I agree. You probably should be in a conference. It's stupid that you're not, but I don't really care that much at the end of the day. And I certainly wouldn't double down next to the guy coaching an independent school.
I think it's sort of like an eye roll, like, oh, you're not in a conference,
right?
Like, whatever, but okay.
Yeah.
He says, this is another James Franklin quote, it should be consistent across college football. This is no knock at Freeman or Notre Dame, but I think everybody should be in a conference. I think everybody should play a conference championship game, or nobody should play a conference championship game. I think everybody should play the same number of conference games.
Okay. Hearing the full quote, that's more defensible, honestly. He's saying everybody should do the same thing is what he's saying.
So
he's not necessarily saying it's dumb you're not in a conference. He's saying it's dumb that some teams do one thing and other conferences do another.
Yeah.
I think.
But I think he has a stronger argument when there was only four playoff teams because the conference championship could knock you out of the playoff and Notre Dame doesn't have to play that. But now it's like, you're going to get in. You're 12 teams. You're good enough. But yeah, just a weird thing. Like,
who'd have thought that they can't get the bye, though? So they have to play an extra game anyway.
They, I believe, can get the bye.
Yeah.
How can they get the bye if they're not in a conference?
There's a specific rule that says if they're...
Yeah, it was basically designed for Notre Dame.
It was for Notre Dame. It was like,
yeah,
if Notre Dame's a top four seed in the rankings.
Get in a conference then.
Yeah. Next on Franklin's side.
I am on Franklin's side at the end of the day. I don't really care about it that much, but if I got to pick a side, I'm on his side. And I would not...
Is UMass independent still?
No, aren't...
I think they are.
No, I thought they were MACtion.
I think they might be joining the MACtion coming up, but I think right now they are sans. Same with UConn, right?
Yeah, UConn is.
What? I've honestly lost track.
There's only three independents now because I think BYU was in a conference, then left, and then joined another one. There was a year they might have been, but right now there's three independents: Notre Dame, UConn, UMass.
That's it?
That's it. Those are the only three D1
independents. Where are Army-Navy now?
They jumped into conferences.
Huh.
Yeah.
Go figure. This is something I honestly used to know front to back. I have completely lost track.
Army was in a conference game, but it was like a lower conference
game. Yeah, you're right.
They're both in the American.
Huh.
Army and Navy is in there.
They're about to get gutted, though, I think, the next couple of years.
They're about to play Bill in the Fenway Bowl next year.
I don't think so.
You have been defeated by the grab bag.
Boston Calling lineup is out for the upcoming Boston Calling Music Festival, May 23rd through the 25th at the Harvard Athletic Complex. All right, there's sort of two headliners per day. Mm-hmm. It's a three-day event.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are a few other ones in there. Luke Combs, Megan Maroney.
I know Luke Combs. I do not know Megan Maroney.
Not that familiar myself. Fall Out Boy and Avril Lavigne.
Okay, I could be talked into that one.
Do you think do you subscribe to the conspiracy theory that Avril Lavigne?
Well, it's not really Avril Lavigne. Okay. She's dead. But yeah,
this is a new one. Right. 2.0 yeah. Avril Lavigne.
Yeah, it's a replacement.
Dave Matthews Band and Vampire Weekend.
Honestly, great. So I like night two and night, what is it, Saturday and Sunday? I like those quite a bit, yeah.
And then some of the other ones that caught my eye.
I could go rock out to some Dave and a little Vampire Weekend, yeah.
As not a huge music guy, but some that I certainly know, Sheryl Crow, T-Pain, TLC.
That's all Friday?
That's Friday. Cage the Elephant, the Black Crows.
Ooh, I like Cage the Elephant.
Are also on Saturday.
Black Crows, Black Keys, Black Crows.
Crows.
Okay.
Sublime, Public Enemy on Sunday. And Spin Doctors. Oh, Spin Doctors? Hell yeah.
Somebody texted about the Spin Doctors earlier.
Well, good news for them.
Tom Morello is doing a Sunday.
Oh, Tom Morello. Yeah.
What day is that?
Sunday.
Yeah, I think Sunday's the winner. Sunday's got it going on.
Might be the day.
Nice.
What's in the
grab bag? The SAG Awards were announced. We were talking Globes versus Oscars.
Yeah.
Now the Screen Actors Guild Awards came out. So this is just as the title would tell you, just acting awards. So the best male performance and leading role... You got your Daniel Craig from Queer. You have Timothy Chalamet from A Complete Unknown. Adrian Brody from The Brutalist. Colman Domingo from Sing Sing. And Ralph Fiennes from Conclave. Five movies that everybody has seen.
I was going to say.
Five performances that people are bathing in.
I read something yesterday about The Brutalist. The Brutalist is only in like four theaters.
And it's 3.5 hours long with an intermission.
With an intermission.
I was unaware of that.
Yeah. Yeah, Adrian Brody just won the Golden Globe. I don't know. We'll see if he gets this.
Cool.
How about outstanding? This is the last one I'll do. Outstanding performance by a female in a leading role. Pamela Anderson.
Oh, I've seen
who got a Globe
that.
Nom.
Last Showgirl.
The Last Showgirl I've not seen.
Uh-huh.
Cynthia Erivo.
10-year-old me is into that.
Yeah, no. It's not great now. But Cynthia Erivo is in Wicked. Carla Sofia Gassón from Emilia Perez.
Mm-hmm.
Mikey Madison from Anora. And Demi Moore from The Substance. Which is a wild ride. If you haven't seen The Substance.
I haven't, but she never won anything. I saw her Golden Globe speech. She never won anything.
No. Hmm. Shocking.
Very shocking.
Yeah, the Brat Pack. You know, once you get labeled a brat, they didn't like that.
That's a good point.
Not good.
Should have got something for A Few Good Men.
I would have think so.
Striptease.
Come on. G.I. Jane. You ever get a look at
I'm
that?
I'm not sure I ever saw that, but I
sure
did. I'm aware of it.
Doing
yeah.
pull-ups in the rain?
Oh, yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah, shaved head.
That's what I called it.
Kind of works.
Here comes the grab bag. Grab bag.
All right, Joe, let's go with the top NBA performer from last night.
There's only one.
Devin Booker.
Nope.
39 points, 6 rebounds, 10 assists for the Phoenix Suns, which are a mess. Ben Thompson?
Nope.
20-15-4. LaMelo Ball?
Nope.
32-10-7. Trae Young.
That's the one.
24 points, 20 assists.
You see his game winner?
No.
Like 50 feet. 50-foot game winner, tie game, nails the launch, and his third 2020 game of the year.
That's sick. I didn't know he had three 2020s.
He's matched John Stockton. He is short of only Isaiah Thomas.
What if I told you DeJounte Murray at 29-6?
I would tell you not the guy.
All right, so Trae Young's the guy.
Ice Trae.
All right, well, that's fine. That's probably a good call.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's Random.
Brandon Phillips. Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball Player of the Day.
All right, here we go. If you are watching on Twitch or YouTube, Terp has put up the Trae Young bomb about to come up here at half court and money.
Yeah,
that's pretty badass.
I think it was Colin Sexton tied it, and then he hit the winner.
That's pretty slick. All right, random baseball player of the day. Yesterday, one of the first times nobody got it. At least didn't on time.
Yeah, I don't think anybody got it.
I don't think anybody got
Twitch
it.
Twitch chat, text
nope,
line, nobody.
Nope.
All right, we're going to go with a third baseman who played for the White Sox and the Twins.
Oh, I was already about to say Ventura, but not him.
Primarily the White Sox, okay. But did end his career with the Twins. Was a one-time All-Star. Was a one-time Silver Slugger Award winner.
Okay.
And was a member of the 2005 World Series winning White Sox. He made his Major League debut in 2000 and retired, or at least was out of the game, after the 2009 season. So a nice,
wow,
tidy 10-year career.
So hang on, he started with the White Sox and won with the Angels?
No, one with the White Sox. Did I say Angels?
Oh, I probably misheard you. You won with the White Sox in 05. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute, he won with the Angels.
And okay, he was an All-Star in 08, and then 09 he played for the Twins and then was out of the league.
Who the hell was the third baseman on that team?
You got to find that third baseman.
I immediately think White Sox third baseman.
Did he make the final play to win the World Series?
Did he?
I don't know.
Was it a ground ball to third to end it for the when they won it?
Could have been. Possible. Possible. Can't confirm nor deny. A career high 30
this is what
bombs
I mean. Yeah, okay.
In 2006. He went 30-94, won the Silver Slugger. That was far and away his best year. He hit .323 that year. A career batting average of .304.
Man.
Certainly nothing to sneeze at.
And we don't know this guy.
140 career home runs. He would not steal you a bag.
Okay.
In fact, 4 career steals.
For his career.
Like
Benji Molina.
Caught stealing 12 times. Yeah, he was not fleet of foot.
Okay.
But yeah, he had a run there where he hit 19, 21, 22, 30 dingers in 4 consecutive years.
I got nothing, but I just saw my phone light up. It's an Arcan submission. I think it's right.
Yeah.
I think the Twitch chat has it.
What do you got?
I believe the text line has it. I wouldn't have remembered it. Joe Creedy.
He got it!
With arms wide open. Yeah, Joe Creedy. Big win. Big win for Joe Creedy. He had a nice little career.
Good job, Arcand. Arcand was all over that one.
Sniff that out.
I'm going to give Arcand the win on that even before the Twitch chat and the text line. But a lot of people got that. Joe Creedy, one-time All-Star,
yep.
You said?
Shimes Potatoes had it. Ethan Brockton had it. Nice job, guys.
Nice. Good job. Well, I can't say that. But it's not that name, Twitch chat.
I will take ye higher.
Joe Creedy.
Creed.
Nice. So there you go. It's a random baseball player of the day, each and every day, in the grab bag here on Jones and Keefe. It's Schefter and Scal today on WEEI Afternoons. We'll check in with them, and we'll get you our clip du jour next.
All right, back here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Time now for our clip du jour. Jones, you ready for that?
Oh, it sounds great. What's the clip du jour?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's the clip of the day. And today, even though it was several months ago, I had a procedure done, and it somehow got brought up on the show, and Jones had not heard the story, so we...
Somehow it got brought up.
Well,
you brought it up.
Yeah, but I forget what it is even in reference to, but I do go every day thinking about it. It's going to stick with me for a long time, but here's that.
I don't think vampires can reproduce. They're dead.
Well, they're dead.
Yeah, so I don't think they can reproduce.
Live forever.
That's another plus, by the way.
Got it.
Yeah,
that's true.
Don't have to worry about that.
Nope. Neither do I anymore. Yeah. I had a surgery that didn't go great.
Did you actually?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, really?
It went poorly though.
Oh no.
Yeah. You want to talk about it?
I don't know. I guess we're there.
But well, it was a while ago, and he didn't put in enough anesthesia down there.
Oh no.
Nightmare.
Yikes.
One of the most painful things in my entire life.
Oh boy.
I had a buddy that got it done, and he was like, "Oh yeah, it's nothing."
I have a lot of buddies who've had it.
I've had a couple buddies
the snip snap, and they're like, "Oh, you're in, you're out. You weren't in and out."
Oh, and one buddy's like, "Oh, I was doing work." Emails during it. I'm like, oh, were you? I was in death-like pain. I was screaming. It was horrible. It was like a murder scene down there. The guy's like,
oh, you wanted anesthesia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You feel that? I'm like, I feel everything. I feel everything, sir. Oh, no, it was a nightmare. I forget if I talked about it before here or maybe on the podcast, but it was a nightmare. The guy's like, oh, mind if I play some music? I'm like, sure, play some music.
Yeah.
So he's playing. I'll remember, every time I hear the song, I'll think about the time I was getting sliced open down there. He turns on the Offspring. I'm like, friend's got a girlfriend and he hates that. I'm like, great. This is what we're doing? Carving me up. I have since recovered. So don't worry about that, ladies. I have since recovered. But
ladies?
No, I was a joke.
I would drop the I. I mean, yes.
Did this come up with you? Do you talk about this?
I have not heard this.
I was unaware of that. It was definitely a Dork podcast with Davey. I talked about it. I thought I talked about it on the radio, but maybe I didn't.
You have now.
Yeah,
twice.
Sure. Yeah. I'm doing great, though, now. It took a while. It was bad.
Did he pour wine, too, when he asked me to play some music?
I'm like, whatever makes it quicker. Like, just, I don't care. Yeah, that was bad.
That sounds awful. Did you scream?
Yeah, no, I did like that. Ah!
All right. Like, that's like, supposed to be happening?
Right, did he go, oh, you shouldn't feel
Yeah, he's
that.
Like, oh, this is more of a reaction than I'm used to. I'm like, good Lord, are you a doctor? Like, nah, I just kind of wandered in. Seemed fun.
It's also it a lawyer.
Yeah, that's bad. But I've had a few friends who've had it done, and they're just like, it's nothing. You don't even feel anything. You're in there.
It was quite something.
I'm doing work emails. That's exactly what
traumatic
I've heard.
Experience. Did he apologize?
Like
a free next time you want to come, it's on me?
The reversal will be free.
I'm never coming back here. Yeah. Ever coming back here.
I'd get real litigious about that is what I would do.
Did you sit with peas? Isn't that what men do after that?
Yeah.
Training?
No, I
frozen
iced
peas?
It. Yeah, I iced it with like ice packs and stuff.
Is it actually a cut? I thought it was just a needle. I don't want to downplay your pain.
I think they had like a razor blade.
I think it was barbed wire and razor blade.
Guy went in there with a samurai sword. What do you want me to tell you?
He borrowed yours.
Yeah, he did. He's like, can I use this? Sterilized? I'm like, I don't know. Just please get it over with.
Sterilized since the fish?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
What do you
think about Bill Belichick getting phone calls from Brady? You buying it there, Hart?
I'm sure they got phone calls. You guys were sort of like role playing. I heard it on the way in.
Yeah. No, we were.
Not in a weird way. I mean, about this phone call.
Yeah, no, I was the weird way.
I was the doctor. What if Bill?
I'll be the patient again.
What if Bill brought it up? What if Tom called to say, "Hey, you got any suggestions?"
Yeah, me.
And he's like,
"Could be."
I know a guy who is in college and doesn't love it so far because I have to wear a suit every day and go on the road and pretend I like young football players.
If
that
only
I have
there
to
was
pay.
A six time or no, if only an eight time Super Bowl champion was out there,
maybe he brought it up.
Bill's like, okay, or Brady, Bill, yeah. Bill, yeah. Right. What do you want?
Brady's
job,
like,
Bill,
you got anybody else?
Yeah,
who else is in mind?
I like to think it was a prank call, like it wasn't even Tom Brady at all. It was just someone like, hey, Bill, this is Tom Brady over at the Raiders. What do you think? You want to come work
like,
here?
Oh
Brady.
My God,
guys, Brady. It's happening.
Brady did what Belichick did. Yeah. He called the wrong Bill.
Oh, that's happened.
He's like, oh, man, I called the.
I'm sure he's got other Bills in his phone.
Looking for Bill like Cowher.
Brian.
Bill
O'Brien. Yeah,
Bill O'Brien. Yeah.
Cowher.
Cowher was just on the Let's Go podcast, so Brady might have contacted both of them.
Maybe Bill Callahan. Maybe he wants him.
Called the wrong Bill.
That could be it.
It's a common mistake.
It happens a lot.
You guys have Schefter. Good timing for Schefter, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do have Adam Schefter today. We do not, however, have Scal.
Scal's
bailing on us again. He's going to be flying back from Denver, so we'll talk to Scal tomorrow. But we will talk to Schefter today. He broke the story, and we'll see if he has anything for us on the next head coach, who's obviously going to be Mike Vrabel.
So we're going to ask him about Mike Vrabel.
Okay.
Ask about Mike Vrabel, some details on, the Raiders as well, I'm sure. Reminder, WEEI's coverage of the football postseason brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. Stay tuned for WEEI. They got Schefter at 3:45. Arcan and Hart. We talk to you tomorrow on a Bruins Thursday rather with the Razor, Andrew Raycroft.
Thank you guys. That was fun.